But I always said I never felt like I wanted to be lording over people, but we're getting filled in more with more and more people, and it's being harder for Joe to videotape, so I'll come up here and we'll see how it flows today anyway. Thank you, Carol. Sermon title today is The Called Part 1, so there's going to be a part 2 to this. You as the saints of God are the called of God. In this calling, the Lord has for each one of you a plan and a purpose. A plan for your life, a purpose for your life. And the question is, do you see it? And too many say, no, I do not see it. I have people tell me all the time, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I just don't know what it is that He wants me to do. And I'm confused of what I should be trying to do. I want to help you begin to see that plan and that purpose in each and every one of your lives today. And each one of us, in each of our lives, God has a plan and He has a purpose. So let's build some background to this. Let's go to Jeremiah, back in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and you've heard me share from this scripture many times over the last few months, but I think it's good to share again. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, and listen to the words. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, ordained you a prophet to the nations. Verse 5 tells us that God knew Jeremiah not only while he was in the womb, but before he was in the womb. When you look at verse 4 and verse 5, before I formed you, before I formed you. God chose you before he formed you. He chose you before you were even in the womb. That's how much that God loves you. He says, he tells us that God knew Jeremiah not only while he was in the womb, but before he was in the womb. And in Psalm 78, verse 6, it says this, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. You see, it's not just that children would be born, a nation would arise, but as in Jeremiah's life, God would know each child who would be born, each would have a plan and a purpose. In Jeremiah's life, it is easy for us to see in verse 4 and 5 what his plan and what his purpose was. When we look at verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And then he tells him what he's going to do. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Now we can see in Jeremiah's life, we can say, well, it's really easy to see. I mean, he told Jeremiah, he says, before you were in the womb, before I formed you, I knew you. And you are going to be a prophet to the nation. So it's very easy for us to see. But it's just as easy for me to see in your life. His plan, his purpose. He said, well, I sure don't see it. But it's easy for us to see in your life what God's plan is and what his purpose is. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, them He also called. And whom He called, those He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? God is for us. Who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look again what it says in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Not just good things, but also bad things. God is going to use them for good in our life. To those who love God, to those who are what? Are the called according to his what? His purpose. You are called with a purpose. The New Living Translation in verse 29 goes like this. It says like this. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them. In verse 30, it says, moreover, who he predestined, them he also called, whom he called, those he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. God is not in what? The junk business. And you are not junk. God called you. He has a purpose for you. Say this with me. I'll say it first. God has a plan and purpose for my life. God has a plan and a purpose for my life. Once more. God has a plan and a purpose for my life. But it even gets better. Yes, God has a plan and a purpose for every life. That is why every life is precious. Saints always, and I mean always, choose life. I've heard someone say, I am a freedom of choice Christian, and I think the baby has the right to choose life. Isn't that true? I think the baby has the right to choose life. If you save your place in Romans chapter 8, we're going to come back to it, but turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, who desires? Who is it that desires? God is the one that desires. It says, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God desires all to be saved, but not all will choose Jesus as Savior. Why? It's because Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. You can't come back into a relationship with your heavenly Father, but only through Jesus. You must accept Jesus to be welcomed back into the family of God. So God desires for all to be saved, but not everyone will be saved. So turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 44. The Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 44. In verse 44, John chapter 6, verse 44, it says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. To come to the Heavenly Father, to come to Jesus, you were drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. You can't just get up one morning and say, well, you know, I've missed all these opportunities of accepting Jesus when I really felt the drawing of his Spirit. I think I'll just choose this day. No, you responded to God because he was drawing on your life. You responded that because you felt that drawing of the Holy Spirit that you needed to make that decision in your life. Now, I believe that in every person's life, there is dealt a measure of faith. Enough faith that you can come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of a sudden that faith is supposed to start growing. And it gets stronger, and it gets stronger, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger. But everyone on this earth has been dealt the measure of faith, enough faith to come to the knowledge of the truth of the Lord Jesus as Savior. And everybody in this world has had, I believe, the drawing of the Holy Spirit in their life at one time or another, but too many deny it. Praise God, you did not. You answered the call that was in your life, because when you felt that drawing of the Holy Spirit in your life, you responded to it by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, John chapter 15. Go to John 15. Look what he says here. John 15, verse 16. In John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Think about that just for a moment. If you never had the drawing of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'd have never accepted Jesus. Why? Because you would have never saw the need. The Holy Spirit would come to this earth. The Lord Jesus says that it is expedient that I go, that the Comforter will come, so will convict men of not knowing Jesus. Otherwise, mankind would never recognize that there's anything wrong in their life. But the Holy Spirit reveals that to each and every one of us. And you didn't think up of it on your own. Jesus says here, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. Appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." God desires for all to be saved. Christ came, and you were drawn by the Holy Spirit to Christ to accept him as Lord and Savior, and he's the one that chose you. Now go back with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. Verse 28 again. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And verse 29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become formed the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Everybody. Predestination. Not some are chosen to go to heaven and some are chosen to go to hell. It's like it's a preconceived notion that predestined that there are those that are going to be going to hell and there's going to be those that are going to accept Jesus and go to heaven. Everyone is born to go to heaven. No one has been born to go to hell. It was predestined from the foundations of the earth that Jesus would come, he would die, so we could be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. That's what reconciliation means. I said that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Young people, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has a plan and purpose for your life. But I said it even gets better. It gets better because you answered the call. It gets better because you answered the call. Verse 28 says, "Called according to his purpose." Verse 30, "Those he called, those he also justified, and whom he justified, those he also glorified." You are the called of God. You are the justified of God. You are the glorified of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. You are the chosen ones. You are the chosen ones. And you answered the call by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you can say, "Okay, Pastor, I got it, but can you be more specific?" And yes, I can be more specific. God's plan, fill in the blank. God's plan for you, and you are the blank. What's your name? Step one, for you to be saved, to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He has a plan and he has a purpose. He has a plan and he has a purpose. For you to get on the runway with God of fulfilling that plan and that purpose in your life, step number one is for you to be saved and to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If the Holy Spirit has dealt with you, have you responded to that call that He's calling you? He's calling you into that relationship with Him so He can reveal His plan and His purpose for you. And purpose number one, step one, is for you to be saved. Step number two is for you to be transformed day by day into the image of Jesus. How? By His Spirit and by His Word. And that is an ongoing, lifelong task. Your pastor is still involved in it. This pastor will be involved in it as long as I walk on this earth. I need to spend time in His Word. I need to spend time in prayer. I need to be surrounded by the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's important that you come to the house of the Lord to worship the Lord, but I don't want you coming here to see me. I want you to come here to be touched and moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that every time that you come here, I feel the Spirit's movement in my life, because there's too many churches where you don't feel the movement of the Spirit. You can go there with the frozen chosen, you can sing three hymns, you can pray, and you can go out the door never being touched by the movement of the Spirit. I want you moved by the Spirit to be drawn closer, ever closer in that relationship with Him. Joe, you're going to wear me out with these steps. I can see that right now. Step number one, for you to be saved and to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Step number two, for you to be transformed day by day into the image of Jesus. Saints, are you involved in the Word of God? Saints, are you involved in prayer? You need to pray, you need to seek, you need to listen so the Lord can continue to develop that relationship with you. So, step one, you can say, well, I've been saved. I checked that off. Step number two, I've got it checked, but I'm still working on it daily and ongoing. Step number three, to follow Christ, to tell others, and to witness and share the gospel. Step number three, to follow Christ, to tell others, and to witness and share the gospel. Are you doing this? It's important for God to flow His Spirit. Water moves, and if water isn't moving, it gets stagnant. It's important for you to have the water of God's Spirit flowing through your life, and it flows in through His Word. It flows in through Spirit. His Spirit, it flows in through prayer. It's got to have an outlet. And that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. And if you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people, then that Spirit will keep moving in your life, and He'll keep drawing closer and closer and closer to Him in that relationship that you need to have with Him. That is God's roadmap for your life, a life that has a plan and a life that has a purpose. If you do these things as you are led by the Spirit, He may even become more specific as you grow with Him, with a plan and purpose in your life. Now listen to me. This three-step plan doesn't change. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a construction worker. It doesn't matter if you're a factory worker. It doesn't matter if you're retired or you're a stay-at-home mom. If I'm saved, step one, then I need to make sure I'm working on my growth in Christ, step two, and by telling others in step three. Everyone in this church needs to change their thinking and their language. And I'm going to share the importance of that with you. I just don't go to Crossroads Gospel Church. I am a part of the ministry team at Crossroads Gospel Church. You see, there's a lot of people that just go to church. We don't want you just to come to church or think that you're in a church, but that you're a part of the ministry of the church. And through this ministry, I'm working to fulfill the plan and purpose God has for my life. And when you ask Him, would you like to come and join us? To fulfill God's plan and purpose in your life. And God wants to fulfill the plan and purpose in everybody's life. Not just here, but the neighbor down the road, the neighbor back behind. To reach out. You see, many times we depend entirely on the Holy Spirit. Because we're embarrassed to share our faith with somebody, thinking that we might be ridiculed, thinking that we might not be accepted, thinking that we might be rejected because we mentioned to them, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know if you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Because the Scripture tells us you can know. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters of God, and you can't be led by the Spirit until you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because it is spiritually discerned from each and every one of us. Young people, God has got a plan for your life. God has got a purpose for your life. All of us. You say, well, you know, I've accepted Jesus and I'm working on this growth thing, but I don't know what that is. Then you keep praying and you just wait on the Lord. God is not the author of confusion. If you feel confusion in your life, it is not ever from God, it's from the adversary. He is the author of confusion. So when Pastor Leo comes to a decision making and I can't make a decision because I'm confused whether to make that decision or not, I just take a step back and say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you until that answer comes. I'm going to wait on you until that answer comes. This church is an answer to prayer of years and years waiting and trusting and believing and walking in faith, believing. Why did God wait till I was an old man to build a new church and fill it up with people? Because our God is an awesome God and He's an all-knowing God. And I've told you many, many times in the last few months that the best years of my ministry are ahead. The best years in your life are ahead. The best years in your life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you today, Father, that you have a plan and you have a purpose for each and every one of us. And we thank you for that, Father. And Father, I pray for those that maybe haven't made step one of accepting Jesus. And they've felt the drawing of the Spirit today, maybe as never before. And they feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart, that they need to answer and make that move to step one. And I pray, Father, as only you can, that your Holy Spirit would sweep over this place right now and begin to speak to hearts and lives. Thank you, Lord. Then with everybody in here, you're already in step two. To grow and to allow Jesus to mature you in your faith. Step two. You've already recognized, and maybe you didn't recognize it as clearly as you do today, that He had a plan. He had a plan because you were born. He had a purpose, is for you to grow in Christ and to tell others, for everybody. That's why this church chooses life. Been a terrible thing if they'd have killed Jeremiah while he was still in the womb, wouldn't it? But he went forth to preach and proclaim the goodness of God to a nation. And that's our job, is to proclaim the goodness of God. You can say, Pastor Lee, I don't know if we can get very many more people in this church. It don't matter. The Lord will make a way. You invite them. Reach out to them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them. Have that outflow out of your life. Will you stand with me today? We are always available after services for anybody that would like to have prayer, anybody that would like to be anointed with oil, anybody that would like to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are available for that anytime after the services. Father, we just rejoice in this day that you have given us to come out and to proclaim the name of the Lord. And we thank you, Father, as we lifted the name of Jesus up, as your word says, all of us, all of humanity would be drawn to that name. We pray that, Father, you would help us in our growth and our walk, that, Father, you would birth that plan and purpose anew and afresh in each and every one of our hearts. And, Father, we would reach somebody for the gospel of Jesus Christ this week. Be with us as we go our separate ways. May your hand be upon our life forevermore. And I pray that, Father, you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour out your blessings upon these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.